Parshas Baloscha is the classic parsha where Klal Yisrael, we would anticipate and expect, should go immediately into Eretz Yisrael. We have the drama of the pasuk telling us on the 20th day of the second year of the second month, the Anan rises from above Klal Yisrael's camp, and they begin to travel. And we have in detail how Klal Yisrael travel. Moshe Rabbeinu turns to his father-in-law, to Yitro, and he says, Nosim Anachdu, we're traveling now. Come with us. Vayita Lanalei Naim, you'll be for us as eyes. And the pasuk tells us, we're in Source 1, Perek Yud, they journeyed, pasuk Lamed Gimel, they journeyed from the mountain of Hashem, a three-day distance, and the Ark of the Covenant of Hashem journeyed before them a three-day distance to search out for them a resting place. The cloud of Hashem was over them by day when they journeyed from the camp. And we almost anticipate that the next pasuk would be, and they entered into Eretz Yisrael. We have the next pasuk, which the next two pasukim are bracketed by an upside-down yud nun. Vayhi ben Soa Aron, when the ark would journey, Moshe said, Arise, Hashem, let your foes be scattered. Let those who hate you flee from you. And when it rested, it would say, Uvnuchol Yomar, Reside tranquility, O Hashem, among the myriad thousands of Israel. What do we have next? We have the beginning of the downfall of Klal Yisrael. Vayhi am ki mitornanim rab ezdei Hashem. The people took to seeking complaints. It was evil in the eyes, ears of Hashem. Hashem heard it. A fire burned against them. And then, Vasasuf, the rabble that was among them, cultivated the craving. And they said, who will feed us meat? Remember the fish that we eat in Egypt for free? And remember the leeks, the melons, the cucumbers, etc. And then that just leads one to the other. We have the story of Miriam, ultimately the Meraglim, in next week's parsha, and we go downhill from there. So, we have to understand, what happened? What went wrong here? So that's a very difficult question to answer, and we'll touch on it a little bit today with looking at an entirely different question. And that question is to understand, why is there upside-down nuns by Vayhi ben Soa Aron? So the Medrash tells us, and this is found in Source 2b, verses 35 and 36 are separated from the rest of the Torah by means of inverted letter nuns before and after them, to separate them from the rest of the narrative. This is because these verses would be more logically seem to belong in the narrative of the tribal formation of chapter 2. The passage was placed here so that the Torah would not record three Jewish sins in succession. This is Rashi. What were the three sins? So Chazal tell us that the first sin was leaving Har Sinai. The second sin was Mitonanim, those who complained. And the third sin was the Asasuf, you know, not being happy about the man, etc. What was the sin of leaving Har Sinai? So the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, the Ramban quotes this in source number 3, and that is, Shenasu Mahar Hashem b'simcha. They left the mountain of Hashem with joy, Kitinok HaBoreach miBeit HaSefer, like a child who runs away from school, right? You ever seen kids, when school's over, shoom, they all run out. That's how Klal Yisrael ran of Har Sinai. And the Ramban adds, Amru Shema Yerbevi Tein Lanu Mitzvos. Perhaps he'll give us even more commandments. Let's get out of here before we get any more commandments. So on this, my friends, on this piece of Chazal, on this Medrash, we have quite a number of questions. We understand that Chazal are breaking up three negatives that shouldn't be in a row. We know three is an inyan of chazaka. It's an aspect of something that becomes permanent. We don't want to have three negative things in a row. So we have the sin of the Jewish people leaving Mount Sinai quickly. We have to talk about that. We then break that up with Vayhi ben Soa Aron. And then we have the next two sins of the complaints. We don't know what they're complaining about. And that they're unhappy with the man and they want meat. So here goes, my friends. Let's raise the questions. Question number one, and this is probably the question, and this is Rav Rivlin states this question, the Or Yaha, Rabbi Yehuda Leib Chasvin will add as well. Let's start with 5. Umeichan matzu chazal remez bepasuk lachet shalabricha besimcha maharacha. Where do you find hinted in the pasuk? All the pasuk says is, and they journeyed for the mountain of Hashem. Where do you find in those words, Vayisu Mahar Hashem, that they journeyed out of Simcha? Hare Nemarat Vayisu Mahar Hashem. And further, they only were able to travel when the Anan moved. So it's not like a child is running out of school, you know, trying to escape. The bell went. And then he's running out of school. Not so bad. Hashem said, lift up the mountain. Lift up the cloud. And they went. They didn't leave before they were supposed to. The cloud went up. The famous Shapazuk says that. The cloud went up. And they went. Vayisu Mahar Hashem. Doesn't say Vayivruchu. Doesn't say they escaped. It says Vayisu. They traveled. Vayisu Vayachnu. You find that phrase all the time. Where do you have hinted at that they ran away from Har Hashem? Further, source 4 of the Or Yahel, how can we say about the Dor Dea, this generation, who was such an exalted generation, that this is what they did, they ran away from Har Hashem, perhaps, he asked, maybe they were, if you want to say that they were happy, maybe they were happy to go to Eretz Yisrael. How do you know their joy wasn't toward their destination? Not that they're running away from Har Sinai, but they're very happy to be going to Eretz Yisrael. You don't know. Maybe that's where the joy was headed. That's question 2. Question 3. Why is it that Vayihi ben Sava Aharon breaks up this Paroniyot? Question 4. And that is, Rabbi Fram, what I never understood is the choice of the word Paronios to describe the incident, to break up 3 Paronios. Paronios denotes some kind of punishment that was incurred as a result of the sin. Where do you find Jewish people being punished for running away from Har Sinai in a state of excitement? And obviously, the question we ask every week, my friends, is what is the lesson of this for our lives? Every single puzzle is here to teach us a lesson in our own personal lives. Where do we find a lesson in these 3 words, Vayisu Mahar Hashem, and the journey from Har Hashem, that there is a direct lesson for each and every one of us? So, my friends, our work is cut out for us today. What is going on here? Where do Chazal see this? Where is this hinted at? What was so wrong? Why are Chazal being so critical? Where's the punishment? Let's try to understand. So we'll begin with, again, 2 levels, really dovetailing one on top of the other. We'll begin with level 1, Rav Monk, Kol of Torah. And he quotes here the Tosfos and Shabbos. He says, this is the only instance of calling it Har Hashem, Hashem's mountain. The structure of the verse can be read to imply they moved away from Hashem. It's usually called Har Sinai, Har Chorev. It's the only place that's called Har Hashem. That is, they were afraid of being given more commandments, and so they were eager to put 3 days' distance between themselves and Mount Sinai, like a child being let out of school. So where do we see it hinted at in the pasuk? So now we're getting a little bit of a glimpse. Vayisu Mahar Hashem, it's never elsewhere called the mountain of God. So Chazal is hinting here, the Torah is hinting, and as Chazal say, that Har Hashem, don't read it just as the mountain of Hashem, they're running away on some level from Hashem himself, that they shouldn't be given more commandments. As the Saba Sobatka, Lavdacha Ba'emes, Rav Dov Yafet, quotes in Source 8, where he says, that Shemitoch Basfunei Lubam, Hashem saw in the innermost part of their heart, instead of feeling tsar, pain, that they were going to be moving away from the place where they learned Torah, they were there for close to 2 years, they, instead of feeling that, there was some type of joy that was found here. You would think that here Klal Yisrael got the Torah, had a face-to-face, you know, rendezvous with Kadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachol. To leave such a place, there would be some feeling of, ooh. You know where you see this, my friends? The Abarbanel notes this by the pasuk at the beginning of Perikav Tet in Parshas Vayetze, where it says, Vayisa Yaakov Raglav. Yaakov lifted up his feet, and he went out to the Nekedem, he went to Haran. The Rabbi now says, what's this idea of Vayisa Yaakov Raglav? He had to lift up his feet. And he says, in this place, Yaakov Avinu just had the dream of the ladder. He couldn't leave this place. He felt so connected to the spirituality in this place. He had to literally lift up his feet. That's what we would have anticipated here. Vayisu et raglam, they had to force themselves to leave Har Sinai. And indeed, notes Rav Zadel Epstein, as well as many others, Sefer Aros and Source 11, how do I know that they didn't have this feeling? How do I know from the word Vayisu that they traveled, that they didn't have this, oh, I wish we could stay here. Hashem, I feel so close to you here. How can I leave? He says, you see it from another place. And that's a pasuk by Bizas Hayam, by after Kriyas Yamsuf, after splitting of the sea. Chumash tells us, Shmuel Tevav Kafeit, Vayisa Moshe Yisrael Miyamsuf. Moshe Rabbeinu had to force the people. He had to drag them out of Yam Suf. You know what that means, my friends? That when it came to Yam Suf, to the splitting of the sea, and the Bithas Hayam, and the booty was even greater than at when they left Egypt, there the people said, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu, not yet. Just give us a few more minutes. A few more minutes. Moshe Rabbeinu literally had to drag them out of that place. Ah, for monetary gold, silver, jewels, they have to be dragged. They have a mind of their own. But when it comes to Har Sinai, no. Oh, you want to sleep? Sure, we'll leave. That comparison between the two is giving us an understanding of what is going on, say Chazal, inside of them. That they don't treat Har Sinai the way they treated the physical treasures that were found at the splitting of the sea. And as the Rabbi Yerucham, the old Moshe quote, says, "Vaday lo ni'el ketoim im nesbor kipshutam shel tvarim." We're talking about the Dor Dea here. We're talking about the generation who are the most exalted generation that Klai Yisrael has ever experienced. We can't just say it on a superficial level, but rather we're talking about something bipnimei pnimiut levavav. Deep in their hearts, there was something amok amok miyitienu. Only Hashem understood it. And Hashem was the one who said it was as if they were running away. And that's why when you read the Chumash, you won't even see it. It wasn't like the sin, the next two of the Mitonanim and the Asaftuf. Even though the Mitonanim was murmurings that was somewhat audible, that only Hashem heard, this was inside their heart. This was a feeling. And the Chumash doesn't record it because the outsider observer wouldn't necessarily see this. As Rav Freiman notes in 12, there's a fine line between bricha and halicha, between running away and fleeing. This idea, and hence we call the shir experiencing escape, is something that a person who feels constrained and confined when they leave are experiencing escape. But the outside viewer who doesn't know what's going on inside this person may say, oh, they're just walking away from the situation. This is why the Chumash does not even hint to it, just as they assume our Hashem. But Chazal, who have the glasses of understanding, what we don't understand, understood. It says Vayisu. It doesn't say Vayisad Raglam. They lifted their feet. It doesn't say Vayisad Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu had to move them, but they moved of their own volition. There's something here that we would have expected different. You know, as the Or Daniel quotes, and it's very powerful. He says, you know, When you leave a place, and the Freiman echoes this, when you leave something that you really love, how you leave it is an indication of how you feel toward it. It's like a person who's, let's say, learns daf yomi in the morning, right? They have to go to work, so they wake up early, 6 to 7, they have a daf yomi shir, they daven, and then they go off to work. So when the daf yomi shir is over, what do? They slam the gemara's clothes. Oh, glad daf yomi's over now, I can get it on with my day. Or do they pick up the Gemara and give it a kiss? Ugh, it's going to be hard. I'm going to miss you. But I have to go on with my day. That sigh, that kiss, makes all the difference. It makes the difference between that love, that relationship, and, or, I'm out of here. Yet, my friends, we still can ask, okay, so they went a little bit too quickly. They went without having this feeling of, I wish I could stay here. But again, we can ask the question we raised before. Well, perhaps their Leaving this way was not escaping Har Sinai. It was anticipation of reaching Eretz Yisrael. Maybe they didn't need to be forced to leave Har Sinai because they were going to the place Hashem had told them, and they were really excited. Maybe that's where the simcha, the joy was. So Vayomer Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Kaspa from Telstone, responds to this question. And he says, the Gemara tells us that B'derech Sha'adam Rotzed Leilech, Molichim Roto. Haba L'Taher, Misayin Oso. Haba L'Tameh, Poschim Oso. When a person, whatever direction they want to go, Hashem helps them out. If you want to go on a path of purity, Hashem will open up opportunities. You want to go on a path of impurity, Hashem will just open up. And the example that he gives is a person who is given, open a door, and in front of him are two sets of steps. The steps can either go up or down. If you want to go up, so now there's an elevator. You can press the button and you go all the way up. If you go down, that you're going to have to do on your own volition. Hashem's not going to push you down. He's not going to give you an elevator to go down. But the steps are there. So again, Hashem's not forcing us into any situation. He opens the options. And that's what happened here, says Vayomer Yehuda. Hashem saw that Klal Yisrael were very anxious to leave Har Sinai. Vayusumahar Hashem kitino kabarech beit hasefer. He saw that in the innermost part of their hearts, you know, it's like those kids by that gate, when that bell goes, shoom, right? It all breaks loose. He saw that in them, again, on their level of the Dor Deah. But he wanted to know, you know what? Let me give them 3 days to see, was their leaving really an anticipation of where they're going? Or was it stam that they were just frustrated and tired and that they have no mindset of wanting and desiring to go into Israel? That is the 3-day journey that Hashem had the Vahibin Soa Aron, and that's why the section is here according to this level. Hashem had the Aron go ahead of them. He moved their journey. Some people said they did a 3-day journey in 1 day. He moved them very quickly. And this was Hashem's way of testing the Jewish people. If they would say, wow, this is great, we're about to get there, we're going to get there even faster to Eretz Yisrael, then he would, then, in retrospect, when they were leaving Har Sinai, it really was that what? They wanted to get to Eretz Yisrael. Hashem's leaving them an opening to see which path are they on. What happens when the journey gets very difficult? Instead of that excitement, what do they say? Hashem, and the Mefarshim say they were complaining about the desert, about the traveling, about the trekking through the desert. This is such a schlep. Ah, it has nothing to do with excitement to go to Israel. Now I see that you're running away from Har Sinai was not towards your destination, but because you wanted to leave Har Sinai. And that by nature there is an easy feeling here and an unhappiness here. And you wanted to rid yourself of any further burden. My friends, this gives us an insight into the Chesed HaBoreh, where Hashem gives us this room to be able to prove ourselves. And room, even if originally maybe we were happy to go to away from Har Sinai, but once the journey started moving, we had the ability to do tshuva and say, well, in far as far, now we're moving to an Eretz Yisrael, let's be happy. He gave us that space. He opened that door. And instead of using the nun of the nun, Shari Kedusha of Tyre of holiness, we went down in the 50 levels of impurity. My friends, this here is a very, very fundamental yesod, fundamental idea for our lives in general. But David Hofstadter, in Drush Dovin in Source 18, asks, how was it possible for a generation that attained such an exalted level to become distressed and complain bitterly about the material shortcomings of the Midbar, of the desert? We suggest in the asterisk in 18 that the Torah's account of the Nisonim reflects the fundamental principle by which we can resolve this perplexing anomaly. Every individual's ability to overcome difficulties and to succeed when faced with trials is dependent on his attitude toward Avodas Hashem, service of Hashem. In truth, every human being is endowed with the inner strength to overcome the many challenges and obstacles he encounters along the path to his goal. But the important question is, what, in fact, is his goal? For some people, the purpose of life is to serve Hashem wholeheartedly and to draw close to Him in keeping with the teaching of Mesillas Yesharim. A human being was created only to delight in Hashem and to bask in the radiance of His presence. And such people will overcome even the most daunting obstacles and weather even the most challenging misyonos, since their only goal in life is to serve Hashem. In contrast, there are people in the world whose principal goal in life is not to serve Hashem. Rather, the focus is on their own lives and personal interests. Even if they do observe the mitzvot, they view the Torah and its commandments as being of secondary importance relative to the worldly concerns. Such people are bound to have difficulty dealing with the trials that confront them, since the entire concept of trials, along with the associated imperative of foregoing worldly comfort and convenience, stands in complete contradiction to the very essence of their lives. Let's put this in simple English. What was the challenge of that generation? The challenge is, what's your focus? Where's your goal? If the goal was really Avodas Hashem, service of Hashem, then they wouldn't have left Har Sinai this quickly, and they would have been able to deal with any challenges that come their way, because they understand this is part of a much larger picture, and we're able to deal with the inconveniences because the goal is worthwhile. Let's put this in simpler English. Imagine two types of people. One person decides to go on vacation with his family. They decide to go to Eretz Israel. Let's say they decide to go to Israel. They book a flight. They take a taxi. They get to the airport, and the plane's delayed. They get on the plane. I didn't say which airline this is, my friends. They get on the plane, and the stewardesses are not so friendly. And their meal isn't found. They didn't have the special meal that they ordered, or their kid's meal wasn't there. And then they get to the hotel room isn't what they had asked for. Are you getting the picture? And then there is a chamsin, there's a tremendous heat wave, and everything is hot, and their entire vacation is like one upheaval after another, and they just feel like, ugh, like, huh, why do we have to go through this? Then, contrast that with somebody who's going on a business trip. Let's say he's also going on a business trip to Israel. Takes that same taxi, on that same plane with the same stewardesses, and that same meal isn't found. But you know what? He's there to make a deal of $5 million. So he's not happy with the hotel room. He's not happy with the stewardesses. He's not happy with the weather. It doesn't matter to him. Why? Because his goal is $5 million. And as long as he gets the $5 million, all of this, these are inconveniences. Yes, no, they're unpleasant, granted. No one enjoys them, granted. But I'm not going to make a big deal about it. Why? Because my goal is a much greater goal. These, the trip and the stewardesses and the food and the hotel accommodations, are all a means to a higher level. So, okay, I have challenges along the way. Nothing's perfect. But if the goal itself is a vacation, then every single thing that goes wrong is a nuisance, and it's upsetting. What is our life? Is our life a vacation, or is our life living for an ultimate goal? And that ultimate goal is that this world is a prostor la'olam haba. It's only a anteroom to a much greater purpose. If you see your goal as here and now, so you're going to have a lot of challenges. If I see that these are challenges that I need to go through, particularly that the challenges help me with my business dealing and help me get that $5 million, so I turn around all the challenges as, wow, thank you, Hashem, for those challenges. You're bringing me more and more business, more and more money. It's the perspective. And that explains that famous Gemara in 20, when it was beginning of Avodah Zarah, where the nations complained to God. You know, it's not fair. You gave the Jews the Torah, they get rewarded. If you had given us a mitzvah, then we would also get a reward. Hashem says, okay, I'll give you a mitzvah. Try out. Gives them the mitzvah of sukkah. And he puts a tremendous heat on them. What do the goyim do? What do the nations do? They leave their sukkah, they give it a good kick, and they're like, who needs all of this? And this, Josh Duffy points out, source number 20. The focus of the test is on the manner in which they leave the sukkah. If they were to depart from it respectively and submissively, they would not be punished. But since the nations will kick the sukkah and thereby disparage it, they will demonstrate conclusively that the Torah's mitzvot are not meant for them. Upon closer scrutiny, however, the Gemara's explanation is mystified. Granted, it's not appropriate to generate a mitzvah in such a way, but Gentiles' actions not represent an actual failure to form a mitzvah. Why should they be punished? By being stripped of the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvahs of the Torah. It's not excessively harsh retribution. We suggest that Hashem's objective in placing the Gentiles in such a situation is not to cause them to stumble and commit transgression. Rather, the purpose of this test is to reveal their attitude toward difficulties and challenges, thereby demonstrating their true innermost desire. If the Gentiles truly desire to fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah and to use it by means which to develop a close relationship with Hashem, they would not kick the sukkah and belittle it when they were compelled to leave it due to their distress. They would depart from the sukkah respectfully. And that's what the Birkei Yosef points out. The Jews, 21, observe the mitzvahs out of love. Their love prevents them from feeling the pain of the heat. They accept it with love and without distress. And thereby you're able to overcome the challenges that you face. And we know this. This is source 22. Mishkat Shemin through 24b, that in life, we've spoken about this before Shavuos, of kol hatchalot kashot umisham yerav lachem. All beginnings are difficult. Not everything comes easy, right? Ever try to learn how to ride a bike? Okay, teach your kids how to ride a bike, maybe that's a past memory. Whatever it is. For us, it's probably learning how to use the latest program on or technology, right? It's a challenge. These new gadgets that they come with, refrigerators used to be you opened up the refrigerator. Now, who knows what you have to do in order to, you know, find the secret of the refrigerator, whatever it is. All of this is difficult in the beginning, and then it becomes pleasant. It becomes beautiful. But it all, my friends, depends on your attitude. If your attitude is one of negativity walking into any situation, then the whole experience will be negative. Even when you succeed in learning about it, it will be a challenge. Now let's go back to our pasuk. In light of the above, we can understand the root cause of the Misdonim's complaint. Even though they lived through wondrous miracles, even though they had attained an exceedingly lofty spiritual level due to the inspiring events of Kriyas Yam Suf and Mamad Har Sinai, the goal being close to Hashem and keeping His mitzvot was not the central focus of their lives. A person could witness incredible miracles and divine revelation, but if he fails to alter his outlook on life and make Avodas Hashem his goal in life, he will lack the resolve and fortitude to succeed when he encounters Nisyonos. Our explanation is founded on Chazal's description of similar to a child who emerges from school and runs away. Hashem, we posit that this attitude was the basis for the sin of Misononim. Rather than accepting Hashem's mitzvahs with love and joy, they viewed them as a burden, a perception that ultimately prevented them from overcoming the difficulties of life in the Midbar. And this, my friends, is our challenge in life. How do we view our Avodas Hashem? We asked originally, how could the people have fallen? How could the Misononim, the complainers, happen? How could the people say we want meat? It's coming from one Nakuta. And that's why these three are connected together, because it's really one, like a domino effect affecting the others. If you don't have that love, if your focus isn't on being an Eved Hashem, if this isn't your goal in life, and rather you feel like a burden, oh my, I better get out of here before I get more mitzvos, then everything becomes a burden. And then you say, Zachardu tadagash erochanu b'mitzrayim chinam, I remember chinam min ha-mitzvos, where I didn't have to do mitzvos. Bochel mishmachotav, I could marry anyone I wanted to. Everything becomes a problem. You're on vacation. Everything you're complaining about, you've lost focus. You've lost what your goal is. And here, Rav Duner Mikdash HaLevi points this out clearly. He says, what was the problem of the Misononim, the complainers, and the Asasuf, and those who had this desire? It was a chisaron be'avas haTorah. It was a lack of love of Torah, the first sin. And from that, you fall into this this whole, because if you don't have love of Torah, then other challenges are going to come into your way. And it's interesting, the Teres Chesed, Rav Ilan Hanan, points out so beautifully, based on Rav Yaakov Meir Zonenfeld, who says the following. Shlomo Melech 29 says, "Oh, have kesef lo yispa kesef." Someone who has a lot of money will not be happy, wants even more money. And this, our rabbis say, "Always Torah, lo yispa Torah." One who loves Torah will never be satisfied, he wants more Torah. So at first glance, it seems like the opposite. But no, yes, but no. What's going on here? Chazal are telling us something very beautiful. Do you know why Hashem created in us that when we have money, we're not satisfied? You ever see people in the airport in Las Vegas? I'm assuming none of you have ever been to a casino, but perhaps you've been to the airport. They have slot machines. So you see someone put money in the slot machine, and they win money. Do they then walk away with the six quarters they won? No. What do? They say, "Ah, it's my lucky day." They put it in until they what? They lose even more than the one quarter they started with. Whatever. You got the idea. This is built into the world in order to use it for spirituality. Always kesef lo yispa kesef. You love money, you won't be satisfied with money. Hashem planted that in this world, so in spirituality, you love Torah, you won't have enough Torah. And this is our challenge. Are you going to use it for spiritual means, or are you going to use it for physical means? And here, when Klal Yisrael ran away from Har Sinai, Hashem saw that instead of having this spiritual desire, more Torah, more mitzvot, more connection to Hashem, they weren't satisfied. Instead, they took that desire, which is inborn within us, and used it for, we need more physical comfort, we need more food, we need the watermelon, we need the leeks, we need the onions. They distorted that gift that Hashem has given us. What was their punishment? Because we said that paranios means punishment. So says the Ramban, we're in source number 32 now. The Ramban says that v'shema il malei chatam zeh haya machnisam la'aretz miyad. What was the punishment of Yisum Ahar Hashem? That they didn't go into Eretz Yisrael right away. That Hashem delayed them in the Midbar. Even had the miraculous not happened, according to this, they were delayed in the Midbar because of this sin. Explains Rav Vachfeigel, who used to be the Mashgiach of Lakewood Yeshiva and Kovetz Sichos, and Source 33, our first time using the Sefer. Very exciting, on Parsha, where he says, what does the Ramban mean here? So he says very beautifully in the asterisks, "Hageder shel tino kabareach bebeit ha-sefer hi." What does it mean, a child running away from school? "Hadavar yadua she'efshar likasher l'shum davar shebo'olam im ein hadavar arev alav." You can't connect to anything in this world unless it's beloved to you, unless you have a certain cheshek for it, unless you have a certain connection for it. "Kasher chaser lo ha-cheshek." But if you're missing that desire, "Eino mishtokek lo to davar." You don't desire that very thing. "Veino mitkasher bo." You have no connection. "Bizman kasar kazeh sheyeshu bar Sinai." When Klal Yisrael was over a year on in Har Sinai, "Lo nitjashev," they didn't have Ava Satara Beliba. They didn't become beloved to them. They didn't have this emotional connection. "V'lo nitarer etzlam tshuka azah likasher ba l'chein b'chumei Har Sinai." They didn't have this emotional connection. Therefore, they ran away. "D'makom she'en ava inim kashrut." If you don't have love, you don't have connection. And all the mitzvos felt like, obviously, like a burden. And that's why the Rambam says they couldn't enter into Eretz Yisrael. Because in order to enter into Eretz Yisrael, you need to be on a level of love and connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eretz Yisrael is a land of love. It's a land where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives nevuah. He gives prophecy. It's a land of connection. Hashem had to keep them in the desert in order shayvei zeiknu avat Hashem v'yijashev avat haTorah b'libam. 40 years, 38 years, in order to work on love of Torah. 38 years to work on connection to Hashem. Why were we in the desert in order to be able to reach this level of connection? And my friends, this is, I believe, on level one, such powerful lessons for our lives. Again, if we summarize level one, Vaisu Mahar Hashem, they're running away from Hashem himself, from the mitzvos. Why are they running away? Because it says Vaisu, they travel. It doesn't say that Moshe Rabbeinu moved them away. It doesn't say they lifted up their feet. They moved quickly. And the fact that they complained is a reflection that it wasn't that they were excited to go into Eretz Yisrael. Because if they had that goal, then the journey wouldn't have bothered them. They would have been excited about the movement and the journey. And they wouldn't have cared about the food. And that's a big question we have to ask ourselves. Are we on vacation or are we on a business trip in this world? How do we view this world? What's our ultimate goal? Is our goal Avodas Hashem? So the challenges along the way are difficult and they're bothersome. But I see it in the larger perspective of what I'm gaining. Or do I look at this world as a vacation and every little thing that happens frustrates me and I act like the nations do. I kick the sukkah. Oh, another mitzvah. Oh, another opportunity. And the Ordaniel says that. This is our litmus test in 34. You drive up to your, basing on what he's saying here, you drive up to your house and you see two mushulachim, two people collecting money, just leaving. Do you say, oh, shoo, am I glad that I got stuck at that red light for so long because I missed them? Or do you say, let me run after them. Let me, I don't want to lose an opportunity to give money. What's our reaction? How do we view mitzvos? Do I view mitzvos, oh, thank God, someone invited that person who looked a little bit socially and emotionally off in shul for lunch, so I don't have to feel guilty that I didn't invite them? Or, ooh, I missed that opportunity. All of this, when this goes through our heads, and we have this all the time, my friends, opportunities come and go and they slip through our hands. How do I view them? If I view them as, wow, I've just lost another deal. I've lost millions of dollars. I want that opportunity. Then I know my focus is the correct focus. I'm here to be an Eved Hashem. But if I look at it as, oh, am I happy that my phone was busy? Am I happy they didn't ask me this time? That I'm looking at it, perhaps, that life is a vacation, and I think I need to reorient myself in how I look at my Avodas Hashem. Vayisu Mahar Hashem. They were a little bit too happy to leave. What's our relationship to mitzvahs? Are we a little bit too happy when a mitzvah goes by us and we don't have to do it? Or are we sad? Are we saying, this is my priority, this is my focus? And that's a very, very, very penetrating question, my friends, that we need to be honest with ourselves to answer. Level number two. Source number 36. Rav Shua ben Chumash. We find a clue in the words Mahar Hashem for the mountain of Hashem. We know that because Hashem's Shechina rested on Har Sinai, it was called the mountain of Hashem, or Har Elokim, rather. However, after the revelation of Sinai, God's presence departed from there, eventually, to dwell in the Mishkan, and the mountain was no longer the Har Hashem, the mountain of God. From that point, it became permissible to Jewish people to ascend Har Sinai, as it says, "Bimshoch ha'yovel hema yalu bahar," when the shofar will draw out a long blast, they may ascend the mountain. Here it is called only the mountain, because it became like every other mountain. Why then, after Hashem's Shechina had departed, does the Torah again refer to Har Sinai in the verse under discussion as Har Hashem, the mountain of Hashem? It's no longer really the mountain of Hashem. Hashem's Shechina left it. Now it's like any other mountain. Herein lies the secret of Bnei Yisrael's sin. Bnei Yisrael wanted Har Sinai to remain Har Hashem, the mountain of Hashem. That is, they wanted the Shechina, divine presence, to remain on Har Sinai, not to follow them. Just like a child leaving school doesn't want his teacher to follow him home. The Jewish people wanted Hashem's Shechina to remain on the mountain and not to follow them as they went on with their lives. Now, my friends, we have a whole different view of what's going on. Again, dovetails the first, but a little bit deeper. Rav Roth Sichar Eliyahu asks, he says, we just came off the heels of Shavuos. Right, we're within a week, taping this within a week of Shavuos. And we have to ask ourselves, what has been left of us, of Shavuos? You know, when we're talking about Har Hashem and the Jewish people left that mountain, forget them for a moment, don't forget them, but put them on, you know, on your back burner. And let's take a look center stage at us. We've been talking about for weeks now, and we talked about this in the Shavuos year, that everything that happened then happens now. So to a real degree, we were just at Mount Sinai, you and me. And we just received the Torah. And we just had this exalted experience. How do we leave the mountain of God? How do we leave Shavuos? How do we leave this 49-day experience of Sfiras HaOmer? Do I say, oh, shoot, Shavuos is over, Sfiras HaOmer is over, I'm now on with my life, I don't have to be so careful about all those midos, chesed, 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 begrua, it's so hard to work on everything every night, shoot, am I finished? What's my response? I'm also leaving Har Hashem. Notzio Moshe Rabosa, in my mind, this is the key source, 38. Listen closely. He says, Omnam vineam nam kolam asorayo pi Hashem, yes, all the traveling was done based on Hashem telling us to go or not. Ach b'makom shiyem matzav shol koshe lai predaschem. But instead of having b'makom shiyem a feeling of, oh, I can't leave, koshe lai predaschem, it's so hard to leave. Heim hachu b'simcha, they went with joy. If it was so easy for them to leave the mountain of Hashem, parentheses, and it's so easy for us to leave Shavuos and the cheesecake behind, okay, forget the cheesecake, this siman and the parentheses, she'ein kan preda. If they left Har Sinai so quickly, it means that there was a no emotional feeling of leaving. The main kan preda, if there was no real feeling of leaving, siman shelo yah chibur, it means that they never were connected in the first place. Because only if you're connected do you feel sorry to leave. Ki b'makom sheyesh chibur, when there is connection, yesh preda, then there's separation. U b'makom she'ein preda, when there is no separation, al korcha she'ein chibur, it means there was no connection. And if after the entire event of Har Sinai there still isn't a connection, that's the punishment. The greatest imaginable punishment is that we didn't feel connected to Hashem. That we descended to such a low level and we didn't even realize how disconnected we were. You can't create a greater punishment than disconnection from Hashem. You know, my friends, we all know this. If you ever had a guest at your house who you didn't particularly like, and they stayed there for a few days, when they left, you were like, bye, thanks for coming. And there is no feeling of, let me walk you to the door, let me walk you to the car. Oh, it's so hard. Compare that to somebody you really like, a very good friend who you haven't seen in a long time, or somebody who you enjoyed their company. So you say, oh, I'm so sorry you have to leave. A few more minutes, can you stay? Let me walk you to the door. Let me walk you to the car. And even when you walk them to the car, what do? You're standing there waving goodbye. Because you miss them. Where was that feeling of, Hashem, I miss Har Sinai. I miss that experience. I miss that closeness. You didn't have this? Were you ever connected in the first place? Or you let those first guests, bye! Nice knowing you. Thanks so much. Before it explains, what was Har Sinai about? He says, there's an idea of being able to see Hashem. It's an apostle in to be able to see Hashem with two eyes. What does it mean to see Hashem with two eyes? So we know, it's again, a spiritual concept. There's a ayin ruchani, a spiritual eye, which sees things. You know, when you say to somebody, I hear what you're saying, or I see what you're saying, you don't see what they're saying. It means, I understand what you're saying. And then there's a physical eye, where you actually see something. At Mamet Har Sinai, the physical and the spiritual became one. But Maimon Har Sinai, the squiggly in source number 39, Hayachibur ben Koach Haria Ruchani veKoach Haria Hagashmi, the physical and the spiritual became one. Atahareta Ladad Kehashem Elokim Eino Mevado. We were able to see physically and understand spiritually that no one else existed in this world except the Kadosh Baruch Hu. What was our challenge? The asterisk in 40, Klai Yisrael Shayalem and Maman Har Sinai Zachruoto, Chayoto, Chavuoto, Vitrak Shubimenu, Maman Norai. They experience this experience in a tremendous way. Now, what do they have to do? middle of the end of 40s, Rechim Lavoli Day Bitui Beolam HaSiya. Now you have to put it into practice. You experienced Hashem. You knew Hashem existed. You had that clarity of vision of Ein Od Milvoto. Now let me see it in your life. Now let me see how you behave differently. Now let me see how you daven differently. And that's the key, the ta'asi. Do mitzvos with a certain amount of awe, of reverence, of being careful. Klal Yisrael, Aman and Harsinai reached a tremendous level. But you know what their problem was? When they left, and that's why Vayhi ben Sala Aaron is the next section, and the Birkas Mordechai points this out clearly in 45 and 46, they had to take the Aaron with them. They had to take Har Sinai with them. You see, the imagery of running away from Har Sinai is, you Hashem, you stay there. I'm going to go on with my life. Yeah, there'll be times, you know, I have to daven, I have to say brachos. There'll be times that the twain will meet. But let's keep it really separate. That's living life with one eye. That's a person who is a Baal Mum, a person with a blemish. The challenge after Har Sinai is to live that experience. The challenge after Har Sinai is to say, wow, I got mitzvos. I'm connected to Hashem. I know without a doubt Hashem exists. My whole siyas and mitzvos are going to be different. My whole being is going to be different. And that is our challenge every year. This parsha, after Shavuos. Where are we? We just left Har Sinai. Do we have anything that we're taking with us? Do we have any practical, concrete thing that's part of our lives? And my friend, it's not too late right now to make this commitment and to say, we're within a week or two after Shavuos, what have I taken from Har Sinai? In what way can I take my two eyes and blend them together? Where if I recognize and I felt so clearly that Hashem exists, I built up to it for 49 days. Now what? What practically am I doing in my life to show that there's a difference? What bracha am I taking out with work of honor? What ben adam l'chaveiro am I taking out? It doesn't matter. Something so small. One word in Shema Esrei I'm going to focus in on. The sentence of Shema, Kavanah Mokhot Shemaim, to make sure I say it every day with kavanah. Whatever it is. Something. Where I say, I'm not running away from Har Sinai. Vayhi ben Sala Aaron, I'm taking the Aaron with me. Uvenucho Yomar. You know, Rav Biederman gives a great insight, quoting, I forgot which Hasidic Rebbe. Hasidic Rebbe once asked his Talmidim, his students, what type of tailor sews for free? Sews for nothing, right? L'chinam, it's the Hebrew, for nothing. So one person said, well, if a tailor does a favor and, you know, sews something for a friend. Another one said, maybe a barter. You know, I'll sell this for you and you give me this. And people were giving all these answers. And the Hasidic Rebbe said, no, no, no. You know which tailor sews for naught? It's a tailor who sews an entire outfit or sews a button on and doesn't tie a knot at the end. What happens to everything they've sewn? It's for naught. It's for nothing. That is what we need to understand what a Kabbalah does. After Har Sinai. After Har Sinai, we have to have that knot so that all the sewing and all the work that we did remains. It's part of us. It's something concrete that I say to Hashem, I didn't run away. I took with me here. Here's what I've taken from Har Sinai. This little thing. It could be that I make a commitment that every time X child walks into the house, I will not be on the phone. Or I will not be on the phone when I'm on carpool line. On the phone means texting, talking, surfing, whatever. I won't. I'll be greeting my child face to face, punning my buddy, whatever it is. And that's your Shavuos, and that's your Mamad Har Sinai. And that's your way to say, Hashem, I have a Tzelem Elohim, I have a child created in God's image. Let me give them the respect that they deserve. Whatever you choose, it doesn't matter. You've made a knot on the bottom. Let's continue with Rav Schwab 44. The Torah doesn't state the punishment for the sin, which reveals a very important lesson. The sin itself is the worst punishment. When we left Tarsina like a child fleeing from school, we plummeted from the lofty heights of holiness that we had reached, and we stood distant from Hashem after having been so close, after having achieved such great and lofty levels, we now were happy to be free. We did not even sense or feel regret about this reality. How tragic. There are countless examples of how sin is its own punishment. You read, you shall love Hashem with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your resources, while feeling absolutely no love for Hashem. One whose honest senses the emptiness in this. What is such a revelation worth? He has drifted far from Hashem, and perhaps doesn't even feel a yearning to grow close to Him. This tragic state of being is a punishment itself. Woe to him, for instead of his heart burning with love of Hashem, he is a heart of stone. And what about the Jew on Friday night when he welcomes the Shabbat queen, sings along with the congregation, enter in peace, O crown of her husband, even in gladness and good cheer, Boi b'shalom ateret ba'alah, gam b'rinah v'tza'alah, yet feels no delight, no good cheer, none of this happiness of the moment. Indeed, a painful punishment. Thus the fact that Bnei Yisrael left Tarsina like a child, fleeing from school, was in itself punishment enough. How far they had fallen from the great heights they had attained when receiving the Torah at Har Sinai. In contrast to this, self-inflicted punishment is a punishment for the sin of the mitonim, the complainers. Here, the Jews yearned for that which was forbidden, that which had separated them from God, and they were punished by a fire that broke out in the camp. And as my friend notes in 47, the nuns, by the Vahibin Sol Aron, that breaks up these two sections, stands for Nemanus. If you really feel connected to Hashem, if you really feel that your priority is to do the will of Hashem, again, the first level, that your focus is that this is, my life is a journey to a greater destination. If you understand that they were running away because they felt that Torah was a burden, that life is vacation and Torah therefore becomes a burden on you. Or on the second level, they were running away from the Har Hashem, leave the Shechina there, leave Shavuos where it was. No, we need to take it with us. That's the greatest punishment possible, that we just leave it over there, you know? It was nice, we had a sweet time, it was good, but you haven't taken anything with you, you haven't made a knot. Then you've missed out on the Ne'amanos, on being loyal and consistent with Hashem. And that's why they're upside down nuns. You've lost your consistency. You need to feel the same passion that you have doing whatever, you know, hobby or whatever entertainment as you have, lahavdil, in Avodas Hashem. As Rabbi Franz says, how are we going to explain if the heat in shul is an excuse to leave early? How are we going to explain baking poolside in 90 degree heat for hours on end? We have to be consistent. We must make sure that we do not enjoy physical pursuits through the very same forms of stimulation that we find depressing when in the realm of the spirit and the soul. And I'd like to end, my friend, with this idea of experiencing escape and asking ourselves very, very bluntly, are we like this? Do we try to experience escape from Torah mitzvot? Do we find it a burden? How do we view life? How do we view when Chagim happened to us? Do we tie that knot that I kush alei pardas? Oh, it's so hard to be away from Shavuos. I want to be connected. My husband tonight is now at the Kotel. It's still within the week of Shavuos. You still want to connect. Kush alei pardas. You can't leave Shavuos. It's still here. What's our attitude? Where are we holding? I'd like to end with an idea that the Sfarim say, Haras Derech, Rav Eisenblum brings down, why Chazal and every word of Chazal in our rabbis is meaningful. Why do they use Kitino Kaborech mi Beit HaSefer, like an infant, a baby, who runs away from school? Babies don't run and they don't go to school. So what's Pshat? It should be Kiyelet Haborech mi Beit HaSefer, like a child, like Kitinok. So he says Kitinok is Meloshon Katnos, smallness. When you run away from God and you run away from mitzvos, you're like a Tinok, you're very small. And that's not what Judaism is about. Judaism is about realizing our greatness and how amazing we are. The godless Adam. When you don't appreciate that, and everything seems to be a burden, so you've entered into the world of katnus, of smallness, and when you've entered into smallness, everything becomes difficult. Everything becomes a burden. Everything becomes challenging. And this is our avoda. Do we look at ourselves as big or as small? Which will tie in Emirat Hashem next week's shiur in Parsha Tshlach, which is going to be all about how we view ourselves. We'll pick up on that in Emirat Hashem next week. Till then, I wish everybody bracha and hatzlacha with realigning our priorities and making sure that we find that knot, never too late, to connect us to the Shavuos experience, so it should not be said about us that we were kitino kaparech mina tzefer, that we didn't take the experience of Shavuos with us. Kasha le pardatzim, it was hard to leave it, and I've taken something with me.